I believe that there is a word from the Lord. If you do not have your Bibles, the technology specialist will put the words up on the wall that we may be in a oneness to hear what thus says the Lord to the church. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. It is a custom that we stand for the reading of the word. I believe if you're going to stand for anything, you ought to stand for the word. If you cannot stand, it's okay. The word will reach you in your seat. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this divine opportunity, for we know it is only because of you. It is because of your abundant mercy and grace that you woke us up this morning. You clothed us in our right mind. You gave us traveling grace, brought us here safely. Lord, you have brought us into the spirit of worship. We came in worried and concerned about some things. But Lord, we're no longer concerned anymore, for the body is being fitted together. Thank you for our neighbor to the left and our neighbor to the right, our neighbor in front and our neighbor behind. For it is you, God, that said we're two or more that can come together in agreement. There you are in the midst. So we thank you for being in the midst of us today. And now, God, as you have brought us to one place and one people gathered together on one accord, you said we could ask anything and it shall be done according to your will. Father, we ask that your will be done in our life. We ask for your word would come forward today and it would quicken us to be more like you. We pray, Father God, that you would help us to fall deeper in love with you, that would bring us to a point of complete obedience to your commandment. For your word said, if we meet your commandments, Lord, that you will fulfill every need in our life. And Father, we declare today that we're your children. And now, Lord God, we need your help. So send your word forward. And as I stand here on holy ground, Father, I declare that I am not the preacher nor the teacher, but I submit, God, unto the spirit that you have given of holiness. Father, now I ask that you would just push down and hold in subjection the spirit of Felix, that your spirit will raise up, that it would come and speak your oracles into your people to bring us into change, that you would make us who you call us to be. Father, we ask that you would loose everyone in bondage, set the captives free. For your word has been spoken and declared. And now we rest to hear a word from you. Father, consecrate me now to be used. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So Peter writes this letter and it begins, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last time." He goes on and he writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold. I got to read that again. And having been grieved by various trials, they were up to something. The trials were doing something. That the genuineness of your faith, it was doing something, making your faith genuine, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing. I want all the believers to shout, I believe. You, believers, rejoice with joy inexpressible. Rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Ooh-wee. That was so good. We can have benediction and go on home. But the Lord says, stay here a little while longer. Looking back at verse number 3, go back to verse 3 real quick. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us a living hope. I want to talk to you this morning on this. My hope is alive. I want you to tell your neighbor, my hope is alive. Now give them high five and seal it with an agreement. My hope is alive. My hope is built on Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Nothing less. My hope. My hope. My hope is in the Jesus that dwells in me. My hope. Anybody got any hope in here? I would believe that God would encourage you today to let you know that your hope is alive. Once you were hopeless and Jesus came and made you hopeful. Once you were without and Jesus came and now you're with. Once you were dead but Jesus came and now you are alive. In order to live with Christ, you must die to self. And a lot of times we don't understand, but we become frustrated and even led to discouragement because we put too much hope in ourself. Your hope is not to be in you, and your hope is not to be in people. People will let you down, and the truth be told, if you review the records, you've even let yourself down. Has anybody in here ever made a mistake? Yeah, I know some of you want to raise your feet too, and that's cool. We've made mistakes. And we have let ourselves down. And people have let you down. And when I search the scriptures, a lot of times you can give people so much credit. And God says, you're not going to give my glory to nobody. I'm going to make them fall down so that you'll see me. Isaiah said it like this. He said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In other words, he was so busy looking at the king that he couldn't see God. So God said, I got to get him out the way. What am I saying? Then we got to start looking at God more than we're looking at people. Because sometimes you can fall in love with people and give them too much love. And God said, I got to move them out the way so that I, don't you steal my thunder. Ain't nobody up in here more important than me. Says the Lord. And sometimes we allow things to disappoint us. And then we look at the disappointment. And God did not allow disappointment to happen so that you can look at it. He allowed it to happen so that you can look at him. And a lot of times you never look at God until you get disappointed. Oh, let me just talk to you for a minute. You didn't really cry out to God until it got all bad. Then you remembered that there was somebody that was all good. And then when you looked up to who was all good, who lifted you up out of all bad, and then now you can worship who's all good. But before it got all bad, you didn't understand how good he was. I just want all the ones who know that their God is good, that you would release a praise to your God who's worthy. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. Oh, oh, oh. Everything that I thought was good let me down. Everything, and everything. And so all, and before I became mature, I blamed the person. Now I'm thanking the person. You got to understand, because some folks ran you to Jesus. You've been mad at them. Truth be told, you wouldn't have the relationship that you have with God now if it wasn't for what that joker did. Oh, goodness. You ought to be thanking God. You ought to send them out a thank you card. They pushed you into your destiny. This writer, Peter writes now. He's writing. Let me hurry up so we can go home. He's writing. No, we're going to get out early today. He's right, because it's going to stick. We're going to get some stuff that sticks today. You're going to have to remember a whole lot. This writer, Peter, let me help you understand who Peter is. Peter is one of the disciples who walked with Jesus, witnessed Jesus performing miracle after miracle. Peter looks, sees Jesus open up blind eyes. It was Peter that was with Jesus when Jesus told Lazarus to come out of the tomb, and Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and death was supposed to hold him, but death had to release him because Jesus had called him. And sometime when Jesus called, everything dead will wake up because Jesus called. That's why you woke up when you were dead in your transgression. Jesus said, come. And you said, oh, here I am. And you didn't even know that you had came until you were there. Oh, goodness. Ooh. And then you're walking in this new life, and you can't even explain what's going on to you, because what's going on is happening from the inside, and you can't explain the power of God. It's too powerful. He must be revealed. And so when folks say, what's going on with you? You say, hey, you just got to get a hold, because I'm just happy that I'm saved. There's something going on that I can't explain to you. And you're walking and you become this infernal. Everything that touched you start getting burned. You heard it in the baptism pool. She walked into an infernal when she came up in here, because there's some people in here that's been changed by the power of God. Peter, he witnessed all the miracles, and Jesus had only given him this very short instruction. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Peter was fishing, cussing, and doing his own thing. Peter was doing him. And Jesus shows up to Peter. Why Peter? Why you? Because he chooses who he wants to choose. So Peter was minding his own business, and everybody knows that a fisherman, I don't know if I got any fishermen in here, but if you go out on a boat with fishermen, they just cuss. I'm not telling on the fishermen in here, but they get out there, and they get out there in the sea where nobody else is, and they cuss and lie. Don't act like you didn't do them both. We've all. So Peter is minding himself. He's kicking it, and in comes Jesus out of nowhere, and he said, "Peter, follow me." So Peter follows Jesus, and now if you can imagine, now if I'm walking with Jesus and I'm seeing him raise folks from the dead, I'm saying, Jesus, you're all that. I'm not going nowhere else. I can't go nowhere else. This is all the power up in. You know how folks want to follow the power? And they're following Jesus. Peter sees Jesus walking on water. All the other disciples kicking it in the boat. But Peter said, hey, that's Jesus. I want to walk too. Everybody else kicking it. 11 other brothers stayed in the boat, but there was one that said, Jesus! I can't see that good, but Jesus! If that's you, bid me to come. Jesus said one word, come. Water just waving. Can you imagine a boat sitting on the waters that's rocky? But here comes the gospel walking on top of what's rocky. What am I saying? Jesus is on top of everything that rocks in your, oh goodness. If it's getting rocky, it's just time to call on Jesus. Jesus is rocking too much in here. Bid me to come. Everybody else was chilling. Just rock with it. What's the song say? Lean with it. Rock with it. Oh, wait. And so he said, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Now check this out. He had to forget about physics. He had to forget about everything that he knew about fishing, because he knew that men could not walk on water. But if Jesus is walking on it, bid me to come. He said, come. Before fear stepped in, he was walking on the water. The 11 other disciples was kicking it in the boat. And that's what happens. Sometimes it just takes one to step out. And everybody else in the boat said, woo-wee. If he could do it, I could do it too. If Jesus done it for him, he can do it for me. That's why I'm so happy about baptism, because if Jesus can do it for her, he can do it for me. I know her. I know her story. And if he could save her, surely he could save me. Surely! Peter, he's walking on the very thing that's supposed to drown him. Ooh, what am I saying? When you latch up with God, he'll put you on top of the very thing that was supposed to kill you. Oh, now Peter is walking on water. The Bible says He was walking towards Jesus. And then the wind blew. And he took his eyes off of Jesus. The Bible says he looked at the wind. That messed me up because the wind blew. He took his eyes off of all the power. He took his eyes off of the source of everything. He took his eyes. Now, can you imagine? Have you ever seen the wind? You would take your eyes off of something to look at nothing. What am I saying? Oh. Next time somebody's talking crazy, just know this. They ain't talking about nothing. And if they ain't talking about nothing, take your eyes off of nothing and keep your eyes on something. Oh, God, he'll hold you. You ain't talking about nothing. You ain't talking about nothing. You ain't talking about nothing. If it ain't glorifying God, ain't talking about nothing. That's why I surf over Facebook. I see all that stuff going on. They ain't talking about nothing. Then I come up on somebody's page, and they talking about Jesus. Ooh, they talking about something. Then my surfing will stop for a while because I got some solidness. I'll step out on a Facebook page that's glorifying the name of Jesus. If you're not posting nothing about Jesus, you ain't talking about nothing. I see those Instagram pages. You ain't talking about nothing. I don't see Jesus on it. You ain't talking about nothing. But when I get to a page that's talking about something, I'll pause and I'll pray for some who want to talk about nothing. Because the one that ain't talking about nothing, the same God that changed us can change them too. And that's why he came by, to make you a follower. And if you follow after him, he's giving you the power to change somebody else's life too. This Peter, same Peter. Now he writes to us. But check him out. This Peter walked with Jesus. Can you imagine walking with all that power? And then Peter, he was still cutting people. Walking with Jesus and still cutting people's ear off. They came to arrest Jesus. Peter just took his sword out and started cutting off ears. Going against the will of God. Because you notice, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word of God. And Peter stepped in and sliced off his ear so he couldn't hear. And Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on and said, "Hold up, Peter, you're messing with my will." Why am I saying? Because we too have been like Peter. Huh? Been cutting people off with our mouth. Just slicing them up. Woom, da woom, da woom. And then God said, "I can still use you, slicer. I know how to clean that mouth that you have." This Peter, he's writing to us today. This Peter is the same Peter that Jesus said, "You're going to deny me 3 times. Peter said, "I'll never deny you." He denied him. He deserted him. And Jesus showed up. Same Peter. Now check this out. When he denied him, he cussed the girl out while he was denying Jesus. What am I saying? Even though we're followers of Christ, we mess up sometimes. Don't act like you got it all together. God won't do nothing with somebody who thinks I got it all together. Note and understand, God knows every one of your faults, and he just wants you to talk to him about your fault so he can heal the area that you talk to him about. Oh, get me. Watch this. Watch. I got to explain to you. Everything happens in Genesis. That's the law of first mention. Notice when Adam sinned, God knew he had sinned. He had broken fellowship with God. When we sin, we break fellowship with God. God, listen, you're God's choice, so he is destined to bring fellowship back. And so he brought it back once and for all through the love of Jesus. But with Adam, he walked out. And always with us too, he's going to make us admit to where we fall short. So he knew where Adam was. He knew what he had did. And he said to Adam, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I'm naked. I'm afraid. So I hid. Because deception had taken root in his mind. His love for God was in his heart, but deception was in his mind. And then God said, he said, I'm naked, I'm afraid I'm hit. So God said, I knew where you were, but I needed to talk to you because I created you to have a relationship with me. Come tell me about your troubles. And when Adam began to just say what the issue was, God said, okay, let me restore you. Because Adam had leaves on him. Because he was naked, he knew. But check out leaves. When the leaves dry up, what happens to them? They fall off. He was set up for failure. And so God killed an animal so the blood can cover the sin, and then he put some leather around him. And so now Adam and Eve get to walk around in leather just because they admitted to where they were. What am I saying? God is just waiting on us to say, God, I need your help with this sin because I've been trying to stop and I can't quit. God says, because you ask, you have not because you ask not. And he said, anything you ask for, it shall be given to you according to my will. And God's will is to help his people. Is there anybody in here that needs some help? If you need help, just say, Lord, help me. Five minutes. So he writes and he tells us that we have living hope. He tells us that we have an inheritance. An inheritance means you have everything that God has to be given to you. But this time when he writes, he's not just talking about your inheritance when you get to heaven. In that Greek word, that word inheritance, he's really saying he's giving you your inheritance now and future. So why? Jesus saying a thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Thereby, he says, let me help you because you only have a couple of brothers and sisters in your life. But then they asked the question, said, Jesus, your family is outside trying to get in. And Jesus says, who is my brother and my mother? The ones who to hear the word of God and keep it. And so God established his family. So now if you look around, you have a whole lot of brothers and sisters so that you can live life more abundantly. So if your prayer is wearing out, you got a brother and sister that's praying for you. And when it hurts so bad you can't pray, there's a body that's praying abundant life into your life. But we focused on the first part of the scripture for too long. The enemy. The enemy, he works through people. Truth be told, he works through you. The wrong person can show up in your life at the wrong time and have you act a nut. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost, playing your music and worshiping your CD. Somebody cut you off and then flip you off, then now everything then went bad. Yeah, some of y'all done been through it. So the enemy, his tactics, now get this. His tactic is to steal, to kill, and destroy. What does he want from you? Let me tell you what he's after, so you can protect it. When Jesus came into you, he gave you what's called inexpressible joy. That's what you inherited. It could never corrode, it can't rust, and it can't be defiled. The joy that you have is the joy of the Lord. That's what's in you. Rejoice, Peter says to us three times in that chapter. He says, rejoice. And that's the joy of the Lord expressed. Why does the enemy want your joy? Check this out. Your hope is attached to your joy. Oh, your hope is Christ dwelling in you. He is the joy that you have inside of you. So he wants to disrupt your hope to make you hopeless. And the moment you allow the enemy to get you to focus on what's going on, you have just given your joy, oh goodness, to the enemy. So now you are feeling bad and you don't want to move. But see, you have joy inside of you. And just because he's your hope, he won't let you remain hopeless. That even though you want to lay still, there'll be a friend that'll show up, give you a phone call and say, you better than this. You're going to make it through this. I'm with you while you go through. God has a plan for your life, and the plan for God can't be stopped by this trouble that has approached you. You get some bad news, there go your joy, because you gave it to the bad news. It's only news. I got some good news. Jesus died for it all. I got some better news than that. Listen, he made you a part of his inheritance. I got some greater news than that. He calls you his son and his daughter. Ooh, I got some better news than that. He promises that abundant life is attached to you. Ooh, I got some more news for you. Jesus says his power that is in you and no weapon formed against you is able to prosper. I don't care who delivers the news. The good news has destined over your life, and it could ricochet every bit of bad news that was supposed to get to you. It'll bounce off the good news if you lift up the good news. So he wants your joy, because if he get it, now how many of you have hope? God works through your hope. As a matter of fact, he gave you the hope. That's why I'm so glad to see God shows me hope in action. I hope that one of my brothers made it through surgery. I hope that he would make it back to church. And he walked in today, and my hope leaped for joy, and I started shouting for joy because I seen hope alive. What am I saying? Your hope is alive. If you can hope for it, you can have it. Now, hope is the substance of things. Listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now. Let's attach faith to your hope. You have to believe it so you can receive it. Listen, you are powerful. What you believe will make you speak what you believe. When God spoke, things happened. What he spoke happened. So he made us like him. So we can take a dead situation and speak life into it. And because we spoke life, whatever's dead will come to life. And what am I saying? If you can hope it, you can have it. And so God has given you power that you can hope. You don't hope that the situation change. You hope the situation change you. If you change you, oh goodness. If it change you, you become more like him. And then you have power now to change it. But you have to get things first. Let God change you so you can change the situation. As I close, this joy that the enemy's after, You got to make a declaration today. He can't have it. I've given it away way too many times. But today, we're pronouncing benediction. That's my joy. And he can't have it. Because listen, if he can have it, he'll stop you from rejoicing. Let me tell you what rejoicing does. It's joy in action, which is praise. Now get this. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. So the enemy don't want you to praise. He's trying to hush you. Because get this in your spiritual imagination. Get it. Because if he inhabits praise, that means when you praise him, he comes in and takes residence in your praise. And no demon can exist in praise. Whenever God comes in, everything that's not like him has to leave. That means worrying has to go. That means, oh goodness, now you understand why the enemy's trying to hush you. Because the moment you get determined in you that you're going to release the joy of the Lord that's inside of you, every demon in hell will start running and running and running. The Bible says, though they come in one way, you'll see those jokers leaving seven different ways. Is there a praise of joy in the house? Release and rejoice in the Lord. Everybody rest to your feet. We're going to go home rejoicing today. We're going to go home rejoicing today. You better slap somebody high five. Tell them it's on now. It's on. It's on. It's on now. I was all week I was wondering why my 2-year-old was running around saying game on. Only to get revelation that God is saying, it's on now. Listen, the enemy should have set up a better fortress than that. He never should allow this word to hit your spirit. Because listen, God knows how to do something with just one stir. He'll change everything with one stir. You ever make a cake before? When you put everything in that don't taste good by itself and you start to mix it. When I was a kid, I used to wait on the batter. Mama, can I have it? Can I have it? And what she beat it with, then I licked it and it tastes good. And God can do, listen, just one stir. We don't have to look at everything that's happening and blame that one thing. We look up to him and know that all it takes is one stir. And you could get happy over the one stir. Next time you're supposed to get mad, next time you're supposed to get hurt, start rejoicing and just give it. Just one. Just. And folks might look at you crazy and say, what you doing? Say, I'm giving it just. I'm one stir away. Oh goodness, from the blessing of God overtaking me. I'm just one stir. Whoa. Excuse me. I know you want to fight with me. Hold on a minute. I just needed to stir just one good time. Just one. Just one. Just one. Now check this out. As messed up as our lives were at one time, one stir. That's all it took for you to know him Just one. And the church is filled with power. And we're one stir. Or we're from thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just one. Just one. Just one mixing. And what God is saying, he wants the church to look up at him and know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. It happened. It's over. Better is knocking on your door. Open it up. Let better in. Give them the best seat in the house. And let God make your life better. Everybody in agreement, give them praise.